We are concluding our series this morning, Beware of the Little Things. Has it been helpful to you? Amen. I hope you've learned something. Today's message is entitled, Don't Run Ahead of God. Don't Run Ahead of God. I read a story of two boys who were waiting for breakfast one morning as their mom was making pancakes, and the boys began to argue loudly over who was going to get the first stack of pancakes. So mom decided to use it as a teaching moment. And she said, if Jesus were here at the table, he would say, okay, let my brother have the first stack of pancakes. I can wait. So at that moment, the older boy turned to his brother and said, how about this morning I let you be Jesus? Most of us want to be like Jesus, but we really don't want to be patient in waiting for anything. Our society is marked by the pursuit of finding the quickest way to do everything. From instant mashed potatoes, instant cash at ATMs, instant loans, instant car purchases where you just sign and drive. Isn't that one of the popular car makers' campaigns, sign and drive? Instant gratification at drive-through restaurants and with microwave ovens. All because we don't like to wait. We are very impatient people. Now, through the prophet Isaiah, God admonishes us about being patient. In Isaiah 28:16, the last part of the verse, he says, he that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not be impatient and hurry up. The word haste there is the Hebrew word that means to hurry, to act rashly, to act quickly, or to flee with alarm, or to panic. And if we trust in the Lord, we're not going to act rashly. We're not going to just, you know, make quick decisions. We're not going to run ahead of God. As we continue our series on little foxes, we see that impatience is another one of those seemingly insignificant things that can have ruinous consequences in our lives. And a prime example of the cost of impatience is reflected in the annual cost of running red lights, in medical bills and car repairs. It costs approximately $7 billion per year because of people who run red lights. And the average amount of time saved by running a red light is 50 seconds, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. We are so impatient that to save 50 seconds, we will risk our own lives and the lives of the other drivers on the road. All because of impatience. When we are impatient spiritually, it also has very costly results. And waiting on God is one of the hardest parts of the Christian life. It's not that we don't want God to guide us. It's not that we don't want God to act on our behalf. It's just that we want him to do it in our timing, not his. We want him to act in our way, not his. And we are in a hurry, and we think God should be in a hurry too. Patience is listed as one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And so that means that impatience belongs to our sinful, fleshly nature. And if we belong to Christ, our flesh must be crucified. It must be put to death. We cannot excuse our impatience and say, oh, it's just my personality. No, it is sinful. It belongs to our fleshly nature. And we need to fervently pray for God to help us to change. Again and again in the Bible, God exhorts us to be patient and to wait on the Lord. And the Bible warns us repeatedly of the consequences of impatience. That's why we're going to take time this morning to patiently consider the subject of impatience. And the first thing I want us to look at is the nature of impatience. The nature of impatience. We need to understand that impatience is a form of unbelief. Isaiah 28:16 that we just read says that if you believe in the Lord, you do not make haste. So it identifies believing or trusting God as the antidote to impatience. Impatience is what we feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing. God, don't you realize I'm coming up on a deadline? God, don't you realize my biological clock is running out? And I need to get married now if I'm going to have kids. God, don't you realize that the timetable is moving by and I have to make this decision by this time, or I have to have this answer by this time, or I have to have these finances by this time? And we question and doubt God's timing or the goodness of God's guidance and God's will for our life. And we become impatient when we encounter blockages or hindrances or delays on the road to achieving or obtaining what we want. And the battle with impatience can be as minor as a skirmish over a long wait in a checkout line or in a traffic lane. Or it can be a major conflict over a situation that threatens to knock out our dreams and our desires. But at the root of it all, we simply do not trust that God has it all under control, that God has a plan for our life, that his plan is best, and that he is working in all things for the good of those who love him. He's working in the backed up traffic. He could be saving you from an accident down the street. He's working in the delay at the checkout line. You don't know what he's planning. You don't know what he's protecting you from, but he is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And impatience is a form of unbelief. It means we are not trusting God. And impatience is also a mark of immaturity. Have you ever noticed how very impatient kids are? They throw temper tantrums if they don't get what they want and if they don't get it right now. Impatience is a mark of immaturity. This is what James says in James 1, verses 2 through 4. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. See, we get very impatient with trials because we think, God, what are you doing? God, where are your promises? God, where's your plan? I think it seems like I'm moving further away from what you promised me when a trial comes. How many of you ever thought that way? See, but James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. You notice the link between faith and patience again? The testing of your faith produces patience. When that trial comes, are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust and say, God, I know that even in this difficulty, even in this problem that I'm facing that seems to be moving me further away from your promise, further away from your will, I know that you are working even in this, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And so James says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience, or as some versions translate it, perseverance. You're going to keep on keeping on. You're going to keep pressing on, trusting God. So he says in verse 4, let patience finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When we go through trials and we trust the Lord and wait patiently for him, it produces patience in us, and that makes us grow. It matures us. It perfects us. It completes us in Christ. Impatience is a sign that we need to grow up. Grow up. Impatience leads to wrong decisions. On the one side, impatience may tempt you to give up, to bail out on something. For some, if they encounter frustration, opposition, or difficulty, they just throw the towel in. They quit their job. They walk out on their marriage. They quit their ministry. They give up on their kid, whatever it might be. And they may even spiritualize it and say, it must not be God's will. There's just too many obstacles. Well, whoever said that when it's God's will, it's going to be easy? Nowhere in the Bible. It tells us to expect trial. It tells us to expect difficulty. The one way that unbelief tempts us, the unbelief of impatience tempts us, is to give up, to throw the towel in. But on the other side, impatience also tempts us to make rash counter moves or rash decisions against the obstacles that are in our way. Impatience tempts us to make hasty or impulsive decisions, like the person who decides that they're not going to wait in traffic, and so they pull out and they cut down the shoulder of the road. And some of us are doing that with God. We don't want to wait on Him, so we cut out of His will and we cut down the shoulder spiritually, and then we think we can just cut back into His will when we choose. We're going to get into some trouble on that shoulder. But we're looking for detours. We're looking for shortcuts, not realizing that those detours and shortcuts will move us out of God's will and open us up to a whole host of problems that we never needed in our life and would not have incurred if we had waited patiently on the Lord. Jesus never looked for shortcuts or detours from God's will, no matter how difficult it got. He had a keen awareness and trust in God's timing and God's destiny for His life. When Jesus' own family was trying to push Him to go to Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles and do some miracles there in front of everybody and declare Himself as the Messiah of the world, Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet come, but for you, any time will do." And for us, most of the time, it's any time will do. And now is probably the preferable time. We're not waiting on God's timetable. We're not waiting on God's destiny for our life because we are very impatient. But Jesus trusted implicitly in the Father's timetable for His life. And so He was in no hurry. And so let us pray, Lord, make us more like Jesus, that we can trust in You. So that's the nature of impatience, but let's talk for a moment about the negative impact of impatience. Really, I mean, how much harm can a little impatience do in our life? Well, impatience is a hindrance to God and His will for our life, and the Scripture is full of examples. Abraham had a promise from God that God was going to give him a son, and out of that son, that he would become a mighty nation. But almost 25 years would pass till the fulfillment of that promise. And 10 years passed and 12 years passed and Abraham was trusting God, but then he got a little bit impatient. And he and Sarah were talking about, you know, where's God's promise? He said we're going to have a kid, but you know, all these years have passed and we're still not able to have a child, and we're getting up there in years. You know, we're up there, we're close to 80, you know, we're getting up there in years. Pushing 80. And so Sarah comes up with a bright idea. Why don't you sleep with my handmaid? Make her your concubine. And she can have a child and that will be the son. Maybe that's the way God intended for us to have it. We try to help God out. And when we get our hand in it and try to help God out, we generally make a mess. Because the fruit of Abraham's impatience was Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. Now, I can't get too upset at Abraham because I'm half Arabic. So if Ishmael was not born, I probably would not be here. At least half of me wouldn't be. But the fruit of Abraham's impatience was Ishmael, the father of the Arabs. And if you want to know how much trouble impatience causes, just look at the ongoing conflict between the Arabs and the Jews, Ishmael and Isaac. All because Abraham ran ahead of God, tried to help God out. But he's not the only example. Jacob couldn't wait on God either. The Lord had given him a promise that the covenant that he had made with Abraham would be fulfilled through him. But Jacob couldn't wait, so he started taking things into his own hand, and he tried to connive his way into the birthright and into the blessing. He ends up having to flee for his life from his brother's anger, and from that moment begins the sad story of his life for the next 30 years. The con man ends up being conned by his own father-in-law. He tries to marry the beautiful younger daughter, but the father-in-law plays a switcheroo on the wedding night. He can't tell because she's under a veil until he's taken her into the tent, slept with her, and woke up the next morning with no veil. And the Bible says she was kind of homely looking. The Hebrew actually said she had cow eyes. Not exactly sure what that means. But he looked over and he said, "Moo, what did I do?" So the con man got conned by his father-in-law because that's how he was living his whole life. And he spends year after year feverishly and fretfully striving in impatient activity, all because he could not wait on the Lord to fulfill his promise, his way in his life. So when he returns to Jabbok, the place where God had originally made his covenant affirmation with him, he has to confess that his efforts are futile. He had not obtained the birthright blessing that he had strived for. He had actually achieved nothing. And if he were honest, he would have to say, God, 30 years later, now looking back from the time you gave me the promise, I see where my impatience actually hindered you from fulfilling your promise in my life. He is, and the amazing thing is, where God first appeared to him to give him the promise, 30 years later, when Jacob returns, God is waiting for him there. Jacob takes this 30-year detour, and when he finally gets back on the road, God says, are you ready now to do it my way? Are you ready? And God wrestles with Jacob, breaks his thigh muscle, all those things. 30 years later, and he hindered the will of God in his life because of his impatience. Do you think that we've ever hindered God's will in our life because of our impatience? Have we ever gotten out of God's will because of our impatience? Could we at some point be like Jacob, that 30 years later we look back and say, God, I wasted the last 30 years. Moses became impatient with the complaining Israelites when they came to a place where they needed water. I mean, everything was a complaint for them. We don't have food. We don't have water. The people in the land, they're ferocious, whatever. Everything was a complaint. We want to go back to Egypt. And they get to this place where they don't have any water, and they're complaining again. They're complaining against Moses. They're complaining against God. They're complaining against everything. They want to go back to Egypt. And by this time, Moses has just had it up to here. Poor Pastor Moses, I can identify sometimes. But anyway. And God says to Moses, he says, Moses, go out there and strike the rock. And I'm going to cause water to flow from the rock. Strike the rock once. Because it was supposed to be a type of Jesus Christ, a symbol of Jesus who would be stricken with death one time, and out of him would flow the rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. But Moses is just so frustrated, so angry with the people. He just gets impatient with them, and he gets out there and he goes, you want water? Boom, boom, and he strikes the rock twice. What ends up happening to him? He ends up missing the promised land. God says, Moses, I'll let you see it, but I won't let you go into it. Our impatience can cost us the blessing of God, the destiny of God for our life. The children of Israel became impatient when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to meet with God, and he was up there for 40 days. Do you remember that? And day after day passed, and they're saying, where's Moses? Why hasn't he come down? Why hasn't he told us what God has, you know? And after 40 days, they begin pressuring Aaron, Moses' brother, to make a golden calf with their jewelry. And then they begin to dance around this golden calf, and they call it Yahweh. They call it the name of God. But they've made an idol, and they're worshiping and dancing around this idol. And the judgment of God comes down upon the camp, killing several thousand Israelites. And their impatience almost caused all of Israel to be cut off. God was going to destroy them all if it had not been for Moses, who interceded for them. Their impatience almost cost them not only their lives, but the promised land. Saul is another prime example of impatience in the Old Testament. Samuel, the prophet of God, had instructed King Saul to wait until he came to make offerings unto God. In that day, before a king went out to battle, it was customary for the priest to make sacrifices to the Lord, and it was a sign of God's favor and God's blessing upon the king, and it caused, you know, all the soldiers to rally around the king because they saw that God's anointing and favor was upon him. But 7 days pass, and the prophet Samuel has not come. And Saul's troops are getting restless. Are we going to go to battle or not? You know, are you really God's anointed? Are you really the leader? And Samuel still hasn't gotten there. So Saul feels I got to do something. I got to take things into my own hand. I got to rally them in. He becomes impatient. And so he takes it upon himself to make sacrifices unto God, which was not the role of a king. It was the appointed role of the prophet or the priest. And so when Samuel came, he said, "You have acted foolishly. And because you did not keep the Lord's command, the kingdom will be taken from you." And Saul's impatience cost him the kingdom. What has impatience cost us? What part of God's will for our life have we missed out on because we were impatient and took things into our own hands? Impatience is a hindrance to what God desires to do in our life. It delays God's will, it obstructs God's blessings, and it can even cut us off from the blessing and will of God completely in our life, as it did for Saul. Impatience is a hindrance, but impatience is also hazardous. Each of these examples illustrate that impatience resulted in rash decisions that carried serious consequences. Impatience causes us to take issue with God's will, to take issue with God's timing, and question God's goodness and intent towards us. We think we know better than God. We think we know what's best for our life, so we need to take things into our own hands. Some of us here this morning, we've been waiting on God for a long time. Maybe you've been waiting on God for a better job. Maybe you've been waiting on God for a better marriage. Maybe you've been waiting on God to get married. Speak to some of the people that are waiting for a better marriage. No, I'm just kidding. Or maybe like Sarah, you've been waiting to have a child of your own, and it's just still not happening. Or some may be waiting for rebellious children to come back to the Lord. Some may be waiting for ministry or calling that God has placed on their life. Whatever it is that you're waiting for, it's not easy to wait, but that's what faith is all about. If we had instantly everything that we wanted or desired, there would be no need for faith. Faith is all about trusting in God and waiting expectantly for Him. If we become impatient, then we try to help God out, like Abraham and Sarah. Maybe we become impatient about getting married, so we try to help God out. We go sign up for Match.com. And before you know it, we don't get somebody God sent, we get somebody the devil sent. Hallelujah. Or maybe we start hanging around in unwholesome places, or maybe we lower our standard of purity because, you know what, I got to do this in order to get this person. And then after we get married, then I'll go back to serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Or if we find ourselves in debt, we may try to get out of it in ways God doesn't approve. Gambling, lotto ticket, or some get-rich fishing scheme on the internet. I am Sheikh Muhammad Ali, and I own a diamond mine in South Africa, and I'm willing to give you a 50% share if you'll just send me $15,000. We laugh, but I know people who have fallen for those things. Have you ever seen one of those customer service centers where they have people hooked up to the telephone lines answering calls? They actually did a documentary where there are places in other countries where they have rooms set up just like that for these phishing schemes. People 24/7 working on getting your money. And people fall for it instead of doing things God's way. If we've been waiting for God to bring justice in some situation, we might try to take things into our own hands and bring the person down by sabotaging their reputation or career. And this even applies in ministry. We can grow impatient if we're not seeing the results that we hoped for. And some churches, they turn to gimmicks. They turn to worldly methods to try to get people to grow the church instead of waiting on the Lord. When we become impatient, we run ahead of God. We take things into our own hands. We devise worldly methods of getting things done, and it will always end up costing us. Moses was shut out of the promised land. The children of Israel were almost cut off. The consequence of Abraham and Sarah's actions are still present with us today in the unrest in the Middle East, and Saul lost his kingdom. Have you ever become impatient waiting on God and taken things into your own hands? And what has it cost you? Years ago, I wanted something really badly. It wasn't something bad, but I wanted it. And it was something that many ministers in my life were encouraging me about. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and time passed, and I got frustrated with God because he wasn't granting what I asked. And eventually, I got what I wanted. But it brought costly consequences in my life. Impatience hinders God's will in our life, and it is hazardous to us. So thirdly, let's look at the need to overcome impatience. We need to repent of our impatience. We need to recognize and confess our impatience before God. We need to recognize the times that we have not trusted God's promises, we have not trusted God's timing, that we took things into our own hands, and we need to confess that before God. We need to repent of it, and we need to ask his forgiveness. And if we are presently in that situation, we especially need to repent of it. Say, God, forgive me of being impatient with you. And then we need to recommit ourselves to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5. Tells us how the psalmist battled with impatience. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. Waiting for the Lord is an Old Testament way of describing the opposite of impatience. Waiting for the Lord is the opposite of running ahead of God and trying to help God out. It's the opposite of bailing out on the Lord and taking things into our own hands. Waiting on the Lord is staying at our appointed place while he says, stay. We keep at it at our appointed place. Or it's going at his appointed pace. See, we either stay at our appointed place doing what God has called us to do, what we already know to do, being obedient to what we already know to do, and we just keep doing it. Or it's moving at God's appointed pace. And if God says 1 inch, we move 1 inch. And if God says a half an inch, we move a half an inch. We go at God's pace. Waiting on God is not impetuous, and waiting on God is not despairing. It's not giving up hope. And only those who are willing to wait, and the word wait means to look expectantly. It's not doing nothing. It's looking expectantly. Only those who are willing to look expectantly to the Lord can be patient. You see, the word wait is an active word, not a passive word. It means to look, to be on the lookout for God to move. We are expecting that God is going to come through. We don't know when. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be 6 months from now. It may be a year from now. We don't know when. For Abraham, it was 25 years. And you're saying, oh, no, please don't let it be 25 years. But we are looking expectantly because what God says, he will do. So waiting on the Lord involves looking expectantly, but it also involves walking obediently. And that means that while we're waiting on him, we do what we know to do. And we just keep walking one foot in front of the other, doing what we know to do until God acts. And then thirdly, we need to remind ourselves that as the psalmist said in Psalm 18:30, God is perfect in all his ways. God doesn't make any mistakes. His timing is not off. His plan for us is perfect. His timing in our life is perfect. And if we get our little fingers in there, we are going to mess it up at great consequence to ourselves. Folks, God knows what He's doing. And when we become impatient, we are saying that we know better than God, that we can do a better job than God, and we don't trust God, because impatience is really about unbelief. They that trust in the Lord will not make haste. The words of an old hymn say it this way: trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we trust, we look expectantly and we walk obediently. I don't know about you, but at times I've not been a very good waiter. And I've had to grow, and I am growing, and it's all about learning to trust God more and more each day. Wait upon the Lord. They that trust in the Lord do not make haste. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word today. And Father, I pray that it would minister to every one of our hearts, because I believe this message is applicable to each and every person here, because there have been times in every one of our lives where we have grown impatient as we have waited on You and You have not acted the way we thought or done it in the time that we thought, and we moved ahead of You and took things into our own hands. And Father, today I pray that You would just move upon our hearts, Lord God, that we would be brought under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that we would confess our impatience before You and repent of it, O God. And I pray that this morning, Lord God, we would commit ourselves afresh and anew to wait expectantly upon You and to walk obediently before You, and that we would remind ourselves continually that You are perfect in all of Your ways. You know what You are doing, Lord. Father, I pray that You would just minister to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, before we can talk about walking in God's blessing or having God's will for our life or any of the things that we've talked about today, it all starts with having a relationship with God. Having a relationship with God. And the only way we can have a relationship with God is if we come to Jesus, His Son, who gave His life for us on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. And if we place our faith in Jesus this morning and say, Jesus, I believe that You died for me, and I come to You and repent and confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask You to forgive me. And then we turn our life over to Jesus and ask Him to be the Lord of our life. Now, you may have heard what I just said times before about how Jesus died for you and God loves you and how you can be forgiven. You may have heard it before and you may have agreed with it in your mind. But if you personally have never responded to Jesus and accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then that's the starting point. That's what you need to do today. If you want God's will for your life, if you want God's blessing and favor upon your life. Maybe you gave your heart to Jesus many years ago, but you've taken a detour. And it's time now to get back right with God. Surrender your life to Him again. If that's you this morning, either you're coming to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you're coming back to Jesus and you would say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. I want to come to Jesus. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else this morning? I want to come to Jesus or come back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hand, if you would, just to slip out and meet me right down here at this altar. We just want to say a simple prayer with you. There's nothing to be afraid or ashamed of. This is absolutely the best decision, the best choice that you will ever make. Come right down here. Someone is going to come and pray with you right now. Just stay right down here. Someone is coming to pray with you right now. And church, I'm going to speak to you. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you would say, you know what? I saw myself in that message. I know that there are times in my life where I have become impatient with God, or might even be impatient with Him right now, because things have not worked out the way I thought, or He has not moved in the timing that I thought. There have been times where I've even tried to take things into my own hands to help God out. But this morning I want to confess and repent of that, and I want to commit myself to trust God more fully, so that I can wait expectantly for Him, not run ahead of Him. And so that in the meantime, I can walk in obedience to Him and not take things into my own hands and do things my own way. If that speaks to you this morning, I want to ask you just to come to this altar. Just come to this altar and just say, Lord, I've been impatient. I've not trusted You the way I should. And I ask You to forgive me. Hallelujah. And then commit yourself. Commit yourself afresh and anew to trust in the Lord, to wait for Him, and to walk obediently before Him. Lift up your voice at this altar right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I just thank You for each of these who have heard and received Your word with a willingness of heart. Father, we come before You right now, and we humble ourselves in Your sight as we confess before You. And we say to You, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us because we've been impatient. We've at times taken things into our own hands and tried to run ahead of You because we didn't see You working the way we thought You should, or you didn't move in the time that we expected, Lord God. And so we took things into our own hands, Lord God. And we recognize today how dangerous and costly that can be, Lord God, how we can delay Your plan, and we can even cut ourselves off from Your plan, Lord God. And so, Father, this morning we ask that You would forgive us of our impatience and our lack of trust in You. And this morning, Lord, we commit ourselves afresh and anew to place all of our trust and our confidence in You, to know that Your ways are perfect, Lord God. Father, we're going to wait however long it takes. We're going to wait expectantly. We're going to look for You to move, because we know if You promised it, You're going to do it. So we're going to look for You to move however long it takes. And in the meantime, we're going to walk obediently before You, so that our life may be pleasing and honoring to You. In Jesus' precious name, we thank You, Lord.